this is... Hello, this is Debbie Guy-Geese with the Pedowitz Group, and welcome to WRMR, Revenue Marketer Radio. We like that music so much, we play it more than once. Really, it's a pleasure to have everybody on the show today, and I'm very excited about our guest. It's Mark Erwick from Nuance, and our topic today is you need more than 20%. Now, you're going to have to listen a few more minutes to find out more of what that is all about. But I just want to remind everyone that every week or twice a month, we meet to talk to real revenue marketers on this radio show. And the purpose is to learn tips and tricks on how to make that transition from traditional marketing all the way over to revenue marketing. And before I really get into my interview with Mark, let me just take a moment to define the term revenue marketer and revenue marketing, because wow, does it seem to be taking off. We introduced that term from the Pedowitz Group probably about 2 years ago, and now I see every time I turn around, I'm seeing people use the term revenue marketer. So that's really exciting. But a revenue marketer is that marketer who has specific revenue or revenue-related accountability. And it's through the kinds of campaigns they run, it's through their communications, and it's through the digital interactions that they set up. We see that revenue marketers are responsible for the top of the sales funnel and for interacting with and nurturing leads until they are sales ready. Key characteristics of a revenue marketer, they all use some type of marketing automation platform integrated with CRM to power their revenue marketing practice and to really get those revenue marketing results. So again, today our topic is you need more than 20%. And our speaker is Mark Erwick, who is the Senior Marketing Director at Nuance Communications. And when Mark and I were kind of doing the pre-show and kind of talking about, you know, what he felt passionate about talking about, he said, Debbie, you know, he said, marketers are buying marketing automation and they really just aren't using it to its fullest advantage. And more so than any other technology, this is really hurting them. So this is what our topic's about today. And Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Debbie. Excited to be here.
Well, we're so happy to have you. So tell us a little bit about your background and a little bit about Nuance Communications.
Absolutely. So my background, I've always been in marketing, first in Europe, more specifically in the Netherlands, working for Apple for about 9 years. And then I got a great company to start working for. The name of the company was at that stage ScanSoft, is now Nuance. And basically, solutions that we offer range all the way from speech recognition, document imaging, and products you might be familiar with is, for instance, a product called Dragon Naturally Speaking, or other products that we have in healthcare specifically, where you use dictation to get information of any type of consult towards clinical documentation, but then also when you drive your car or you use a mobile phone and you have any speech recognition in there, then chances are pretty high that they come from Nuance as well.
Okay, and again, you're right. It's such a very, very cool technology. So it sounds like you've been a career marketer. So tell us more about what you do for marketing at Nuance.
Sure. So in my role, it's all about downstream marketing. So that ranges all the way from trade shows, events, direct marketing, marketing for all our sales teams. So that's field marketing rolls up to me, and then there's also channel marketing as well as customer marketing. So a wide range of things. And what's really exciting is if you look towards the growth of our company, we've been through a pretty significant growth. The roles of these different groups reporting into me have changed as the company is growing, and I think it ties somewhat back towards one of the comments that we discussed during one of our earlier call, and that gets into towards revenue marketing, because when you're small, you might have different priorities than when you're growing. When we were small, we were probably a 20 million or so revenue company, and now we're 1.4 billion, so significant
wow.
growth over the last 10 years.
That's amazing, Mark. That's just amazing.
And It truly is, and what you see is one of the ways of growing with that is obviously marketing automation. And in the early days, we used to send out a direct mail or simply an email, but now that truly has transformed towards a different way of interacting with our prospect as well as with our customers.
So, Mark, before we kind of jump into our marketing automation discussion, which really is our topic, you said something that I just have to ask you about, because it seems to me like one of the hottest topics, you know, as I go out and I, you know, talk to marketers and I work with our different clients, really has to do with how the roles on the marketing team are changing. Maybe you could share with us a little bit around how those roles have changed in marketing in your organization.
Absolutely. So one of the things, there is obviously a number of dynamics around us. One is the economy, which has significantly changed over the last 10 years. Two is also the amount, the sheer number of messages that our prospects and customers receive from all other type of senders out there. So the impact that your message need to have in order to get the attention of prospects, of your customer, or any other audience that you're targeting has become significantly more difficult. So that clearly is a challenge. On the other hand, I think one big advantage, one thing which has dramatically changed and clearly ties in towards the whole concept of measurability and revenue marketing is we can measure so much more. We used to send out mailings, and was it like half a year later, we still had no clue of whether this was successful or not, because we had a number of leads, but we could not track it. Now with systems around us, based from CRM systems, marketing automation systems, getting them all tied in, getting them integrated, and making sure that you have actually somebody responsible in your organization who can track that, that clearly can generate some more accountability, which I think gets the role of marketing much more important in the organization of today. I mean, every organization is under financial pressure and need to get leaner. And the only way as marketeer that you can survive is really stand up and be accountable for your budget and actually show productivity that you have and the results that the campaign yields.
I completely agree. So you're right. We've seen the roles in marketing change from being people who do a lot of activity to a group of people that have new skills, whether they be technology or analytical skills, but clearly now responsibility and accountable for a result versus just running a series of activities. So completely agree with that. So one of the things we'll have to do, Mark, at a later date, I have a white paper that's coming out on the 7 competencies for a revenue marketing team, and we can talk some more about that later. But, you know, for the brand new CMO, for the brand new VP of marketing, for the brand new director of marketing who's just now beginning to take a look at marketing automation, quite often they don't understand the change that's going to be wrapped around in taking something as simple as a piece of technology and being able to speak to roles, competencies, alignment, how you get them, how you grow them, I think is very important. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. It's clearly something new. Like 10 years ago, we were not thinking about that. I was proud that I was running, maybe 60 campaigns in half a year and stood up towards the sales team. Hey, look, this is all the exciting things that we're doing. And equally so, the sales team was excited about that too. But today, that doesn't work anymore. Today, it's really about, okay, how many leads did you deliver? How many of those leads turned in towards marketing qualified leads? How many of those turned in towards sales qualified leads?
Mm-hmm.
How is
mm-hmm.
the funnel working? How many of those then turn in towards opportunity?
Yep.
And what's the value of those of that opportunity?
Yeah, it really is a completely different ball game for marketers. And I have to tell you, I was recently visiting a company. And when I took a look at, and they had actually implemented marketing automation, but guess what hadn't changed? The day in and day out roles of all the marketers in that organization, they still had all those responsibilities And this working with demand generation, this working with the marketing automation tool was really something that they got around to. It really was not a significant focus for the organization. And you could see that in the results. They were absolutely stuck, couldn't figure out why they couldn't get to the next stage. And it was because, you know, the marketers were still doing what they were doing prior to marketing automation and really weren't taking the time to get to the next level. So, yeah, so you and I, we need to talk some more about those roles. But I want to talk about your idea, and that is your concept around the first 20% as it regards use of marketing automation. So why don't you tell us what your thought is there and what you mean by that and what that might mean for other organizations, Mark?
Oh, sure. Happy to do so, Debbie. So one of the things which we got a marketing automation tool in-house, and then we changed towards another tool. All of that is not so relevant. I think if you look towards the top end, they're very similar. If you look towards the lower end, they're also very similar. So then it's just a matter of figuring out what is best for your organization, what is the budget that you have available to invest in it. I think what was interesting for us is we looked towards all of the things that you could do with it, and I think, like any other organization, initially we were overwhelmed, and we start really to focus on probably around 20% of that application and use it towards that extent. So basically, we had a major tool, and we were using that to send out emails, and that was pretty much it. Now, what's interesting is that same 20% applies towards the large majority of people using Microsoft Word, for instance. Most people, they use it to write their letters, and maybe they have a little thing of design in there. But people are not using colored line to underline, are not using sparkles to make Word shine up. Simply, there is so much functionality in towards those products that people are not using. The large majority is very efficiently able to communicate with Microsoft Word, create documents, and do what they want to do with about 20% of the functionality. I think that's very different if you talk about marketing automation tools. If you truly want to make marketing automation as a part of your organization, and if you want to successfully embed it into your organization, you need to get out of this comfort zone of the 20% of the functionality which is in there, which is simply sending out emails and maybe a little bit of automation or a little bit of receiving it. You need to be able to, A, integrate it into your CRM system. You need to make sure that you build in your system towards lead nurturing, lead qualification, and with all of that functionality, actually build programs and make sure that you track those programs, and based on the success, you can focus on what is working, what's not. Now, I think that's my core philosophy, and I have more comments around this, but this is really, I think, what many organizations, similar as this shift that you talked about earlier, Debbie, where you say, well, many of the companies are not making that shift. That same shift is here, too. It's not a check-off box. You get the system in-house, and then suddenly it's working. It's much more than that. In order to successfully implement it, what you need to be able to do is make sure that you understand strategically the impact towards your customers, towards your prospects, and how you can effectively use it to really build programs around it that are going to help your organization.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So, and I also, Mark, really agree with your comment. You know, most of the world can get along using 20% of Microsoft Word, and they're going to be just fine. But you really are going to fall behind and not remain competitive and really not do your job if you continue to only use the first 20% of a marketing automation solution. So I completely agree with that. So tell us, what are your ideas specifically around how a company could improve their use? Kind of, do you have an idea around how long it takes or what things you might do first? But what has been your experience in moving from 20% to 30%, 50%? How would you recommend a company do that?
Okay, so I think you start all with your strategy, and that's no different than any other strategy. At the same way that you build a strategy for a specific product or a specific service that you bring towards the market. And when you do that, what you need to be able to do is figuring out what are the different target audiences that you communicate to, and then based on that, the message, and build your strategy for that. I think that's no different than what you would do with any other type of communication, whether it's direct mail, whether it's advertising, using banners or your website or whatever. I think then where it comes down to is sit together and figuring out with your marketing team, with your product marketing in their solutions marketing, and ensure that you build a program that is actually going to help you in executing this objective. And I think the best way of doing that is per target audience, and making sure that you figure out what are the right components that you need to deliver towards that audience, what are the messages that are building that, and what is a time frame that you can wrap this up towards getting them towards a stage in which they're getting ready for the sales organization. Now, based on the type of products that you're selling, based on the type of services that you're selling, that might all be very different. But I think in the end, what's really important is that before starting to do anything in towards your marketing automation system, you first start to work on a whiteboard or on a piece of paper or whatever it is, and only when you figure it out and when you have full agreement with all the internal stakeholders, then you can sit in front of your marketing automation system and start building it.
Completely agree. And let me take you back, way back into time. So, Mark, you've used at least two marketing automation systems, right?
Yep.
Okay. So think back to when you were first implementing your first marketing automation system. There was probably a lot that you didn't know at that time, and there's probably a lot that you didn't know that you didn't know. And I think one of those things has to do with how you can really, I mean, at that time it would have been hard to come up, you could come up with a strategy. What it may have been harder to do when you're real new to this is to have a complete understanding of all the features and functions of a marketing automation system and how to correctly deploy that. So there has to be an education component, right, for people to really understand how to use the technology. So how do you suggest people go about knitting the strategy and that education process for the software together?
I think it's a combination of things. But I would go back towards my earlier comment. Once you have things on paper, once you really understand what you want to achieve, I think that is really the critical point. I mean, in the end, there is many things that then the technology can help, and where different partners and different other organizations can help you in actually getting it executed. And what's interesting is there is different philosophies, whether you use the professional services from the vendor that is sold you the marketing automation tool, or whether you use external partners. I think it's always a bit to really get the best value, and that's the way that we took it about. And what's interesting though is you need to listen towards other people, what they've achieved, and embed some of that in. But then another thing that we originally start to work with, which we thought was helpful, which has helped us, but there was only a short-term solution. I'm happy to share with the audience. So basically what we did is there were some canned programs in towards our marketing automation tool. And we said, well, that's great. We have this, and now let's make some modifications and make it applicable for our audience. And I fell in the trap. I mean, that's what we did, and we executed it. Now, granted, we generated leads with that, and the campaign as such was successful, but you're basically narrowing your view because, as I said earlier, you need to build a strategy, and then based on your strategy, you need to build your campaign. And what we did was, well, we basically had a campaign.
Yep.
And then we start building a campaign around it and pulling in, oh, maybe we can do this, maybe we can do that. But
we
have a very complex thing, which in the end, I mean, we got our leads and everybody was happy with it, but it's really not the way that you should start. So on hindsight, I saw that more as a training exercise, something that helped us to get more comfortable with the tool. But for people that are starting, like you said, that are in the early phase, I would recommend, okay, build your strategy first and then seek a good partner who can help you embedding that into the system and making sure that you get that executed. Also, make sure that you look towards different audiences. And one other thing that I want to mention, Debbie, because I can clearly understand that people might be easily overwhelmed with this. When I say, well, instead of 20%, start to use somewhere more around 70 or 80% of the software, everybody in this industry, and particularly if you're in marketing, you're struggling with resources.
Mm-hmm.
So I can clearly understand that you say, and if you listen to me and think, well, that's great, but it's not going to work for me because I simply don't have the resources. My strong recommendation is focus on fewer campaigns. Really make sure that you execute with excellence, but focus on fewer campaigns, either on fewer products or on fewer services or on fewer target audiences. But then once you have defined where you have the largest potential, then do a really good campaign for that particular audience rather than using your marketing automation tool as an email blaster, for instance, for replacement of all of your programs, because then you're simply not getting all of it out of it. You're not able to grow with the need that you need to grow within your organization.
That's right. I love that. Focus on fewer campaigns and do them with excellence. And what I always tell people is that once you put your marketing automation system in, you know, that's when the work really begins. That's when the training and the knowledge, you know, you really learn it on the job. And so to your point, Mark, if you run fewer campaigns but you run them with excellence, and again, also completely agree with you've got to have that strategy piece first. What do you want to achieve? And again, I really liked your comments as well because I think they're valid for a lot of people. They, you know, should I use the canned programs or should I, you know, create my own? And in the end, a lot of times those canned programs, to your point, do come out to be good training exercises for the organization. And then as you focus on those campaigns and then you begin to have a fluency and a better understanding of your system, then you can start adding to that and again all toward reaching that strategy that you've kind of put together. So Mark, let me ask you this. At Nuance, how many people actually use the marketing automation system?
Probably around 15 or so.
So you got, and are they around the globe or in the US?
Around the globe.
Around the globe, okay. So how did you get these people trained?
Within Nuance, we have a fairly lean corporate marketing organization, but most of the use of the marketing automation tool is within the different divisions.
Mm-hmm.
I think what happened was, A, we started with building up knowledge as a result of training from our vendors. And then we got some external resources in, and then the third phase was actually hiring individuals that actually had the knowledge. So I think
okay.
we went through three different phases, and that's where we are today. And I think, in the end, that works really well. So we have a kind of interesting model, which I know in many other organizations is very different, but as a result, we have four fairly autonomously run divisions that are all making their own use out of our system. And what they do, they have their own point of view, they have their own objectives, and with very different market segments. One might go towards consumer, another one towards healthcare, another one towards medium and smaller businesses. Now, what's interesting, though, is in order to ensure that we still are learning, we have something which our corporate marketing team set up is a weekly call in which we discuss best practices. And as a result
of that,
we all learn from each other, even though we have our different objectives, even though we have our different campaigns, even though our emails look very different, even though some of them are just started with lead nurturing, other ones have fully implemented it. I mean, by putting this in place, we're all learning from each other, and we're all getting more value out of it.
I love that. And who runs those sessions? Is it corporate marketing, or do you have different people who lead those sessions?
Yeah, it's a combination of corporate marketing and other people who are helping there. Yep.
Okay. And how long have you guys been running those weekly learning sessions?
That's a great question, Debbie. I think it's for about 2 years now.
Wow.
At some point it came up at one of the divisions, say, okay, well, you're doing this, you're doing that, and we're doing this. What actually works better? And then as a larger group, we sat together and said, okay, how can we actually share some of this knowledge, which is around here but in different parts of the organization? I think it's helpful. I think it really helps. Now, again, many organizations are set up in a different way. Sometimes, like a corporate marketing team is taking care of everything, and in the divisions you see more building the message and then transfer it towards somebody else. And in other organizations, they outsource marketing automation. So I've seen very different models. I'm really excited about the way that we have implemented it at Nuance. It really ensures that not only your messaging gets in there, but also you can actually fully execute on that strategy, which I talked earlier about. You can build your plans based on the marketing plans that you have for that particular year or that particular quarter. And then for that particular audience, you build a program. And so since it's more than just building the content and putting it in towards a template, having that autonomy in the division, I think, is really helping you to be successful.
Oh yeah.
Hello.
We'll just pause for 1 second. I think Debbie, we've lost signal, so just give us a couple minutes and we'll get her back online.
Okay.
1 second.
Majda, am I back in?
Yep, I hear you, Debbie.
Okay, fantastic. So I'll tell you guys a funny story. So the one time I'm actually on a landline, it disconnected me. That's so funny. Let's go back to some of Mark's comments earlier because he had so much great content in there. And I just want to make sure that, you know, for our listeners who are listening and who are trying to understand kind of where they should go and what they should do, I just really want to bring out a few things that he mentioned. First of all, you know, he has 15 users of marketing automation around the globe. And so, how, you know, if you're going to use more than 20%, first of all, you know, you have to get these folks trained. And so, you know, how do you do that? So clearly your options are, you know, you can work with your vendor, get a baseline, and then build your own in-house knowledge. You can work with, you know, external partners to get that done. And then you can also hire that knowledge. And we're finding, and Mark, maybe you can tell me, it's not easy to find people who already have these skills. We typically find our clients take anywhere from, you know, 4 to 6 months to find people with those specific skills. So when it came to hiring people who already had that marketing automation experience, what did you experience, Mark? How easy or how challenging was it to find someone with those skills?
No, you're absolutely right, Debbie. That was clearly a challenge. We obviously had the job listings on Monster and some other websites, but that was not yielding much result. I think we did two other things One thing was not successful, and I won't repeat that. The other thing which we did was networking during meetings of the marketing automation organization.
Yes.
So some of the vendors have that. They have some regional meetings. I would strongly encourage listeners to listen to that. And we also look towards LinkedIn. Some people mention even the name of the vendors. I think one thing which is really helping is, like I said, there is a top segment of marketing automation tool and a lower segment. And once you're in that top segment, if you find a great candidate with experience in towards another tool, then for them to transfer towards another tool is not too hard.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Between those two segments, but I think in the end, once you're finding good candidates and they have a certain amount of knowledge, which you think is going to be valuable for your organization, and you find them in towards that spot, but they have it for another tool, that is not too hard to transfer.
And you know, and that's really only been, I would probably say, the last 18 months, because you know, even 2-3 years ago, it was so hard to find even people who had done it once, right? So, but you're right. If they have had exposure to one marketing, you know, one of the top-tier marketing automation systems, it's pretty easy for them to pick up the next one, because it's not so much about how to use the technology as it is around the thought processes and the intent and what it is you're trying to do, because it's so different from anything that we've ever seen in traditional marketing. So I also want to come back to this idea that you guys have, this weekly learning sessions that you've got to kind of share best practices on a global basis and also across the globe. Are these all informal, Mark, or do you guys actually have a place where you document and share things, or is it just more on an informal basis?
It's more on an informal basis.
Okay, all right. But yeah. Again, you know, when you think about, you know, people who are, you know, they're in the weeds, they're executing campaigns, they're looking for ways to improve performance so they can hit that goal and tie it back to the strategy, talking to other peers is, to me, you know, the single best learning that they could get. You know, you've got a weekly meeting come up, bring your topic, and then everybody improves. So, and this is actually, we've seen this model that you've got. It's actually pretty typical. Well, it's not typical, but it's a very good thing when you've got a global organization, when you've got four different business units, you know, for folks to be able to share best practices, you know, it just makes a whole lot of sense for them. So, you know, Mark, whenever people ask me, they say, okay, you know, we're going to do this marketing automation thing, so, and I'm going to have to get somebody trained. How long does it take to train somebody? How would you answer that question? I get asked that question all the time. How would you answer that question?
If the person has no experience at all, I think you're literally talking months before that person is ramped up towards some decent way of using it. So I recommend if you have a person in the organization that you want to transform towards a marketing automation specialist, that might make perfect sense from a growth plan or for other reasons. I would strongly recommend that you send that person towards a training. Once he has the core basics to do one other thing, which we implemented fairly successful, which is engaging with a vendor which is in the business of building programs, providing services for companies that are doing marketing automation, and this is a business problem that we want to solve. Here are the parameters. Can you build a program around that? Now, what they would say is, we're happy to build that. But in order to make it successful for this new person in your organization, or this person that you want to build up the skills, is say, okay, we want this person actually for part of this project, sit next to it and being part of it, so that we can replicate it for other programs. And my experience is that most of the vendors are actually interested in that, sharing that knowledge, because it gives them also the opportunity to come back. It's also building a relationship with this person in towards your organization. So it works good for both parties. And
absolutely.
I think it works great. I think it was a great experience with two vendors where we did this. And I would definitely recommend for organizations who are new to this to use that type of strategy.
Oh, I really, really like that a lot. So, Mark, what does it take to get to 80% use of marketing automation?
Well, I think in the end it will be different for each and every organization, because you find different things that are valuable for your campaigns and that are applicable for the strategies that you have within your organization. Whether you're in consumer marketing, B2B, whether you're going to reach out towards an audience that is receiving a lot of emails or infrequent emails. So there's many parameters here. Also, whether you are more marketing towards customers or new prospects. And so there's a lot of parameters here, and I will do very different things based on the audience, based on the strategy that you have. So I think that's first what you need to figure out. In general, I think somewhere in there you absolutely need to take a look towards email testing. If you don't do email testing, if you're simply sending out the same thing over and over again towards everybody or the entire target audience, and you're not testing which header works better than the other, which email, which subject line works better than the other, you're not getting anywhere. Another thing is lead nurturing, something which is not easy to set up, and particularly here is another thing. You really need to build your strategy first, but once you have your strategy, then execute it. Qualifying your leads, lead scoring, another typical scenario. If you don't score them, you don't know where they are, and you would hand them over towards your sales organization, frustrate your sales organization because they're going to complain about the quality of the leads.
Yep.
Whereas you, by nurturing them more, you get to a higher level.
Absolutely.
Better for the marketing organization and better for the sales organization.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
These are
yep.
just like three things.
Okay.
Testing, scoring, and lead nurturing. I think these three things I would definitely recommend that you build them in towards your strategy, and that
certainly
helps you to get you towards your strategy.
Yeah, I completely agree. Completely agree. So I have two final questions. The first is, you know, when we started our discussion, our talk, one of the things that you said was, you know, unlike Microsoft Word, you know, if you don't use more of marketing automation, it's really going to hurt you. So if we were to talk about a result, or if we were to talk about a correlation, correlating percentage use of the marketing automation tool to revenue impact, what comment would you have on that?
I understand your question. I'm just thinking about it. So the way that we typically look at it, so I think for me it's hard to say in revenue impact. But what I can certainly say is, if you look towards percentage use towards opportunities created, which is only a step away from the revenue impact, right?
Yeah.
I think for me as a marketeer, I always think, well, if the opportunity is created, that is where the responsibility of the marketing organization stops, and then you really hand it over towards the sales organization, and the sales organization need to execute in order to get that opportunity converted in towards revenue. Because in the end, at that stage, there's clearly been the different steps that are happening from inquiry to a qualified lead towards sales accepted lead, sales qualified lead, and then you're getting in towards the opportunity created. So that last, I always feel that that's the sales responsibility. But regardless, if you look towards then the use of your automation tool, the percentage of that versus the opportunities created, I think you're than 85 to 90%. There is so much impact that you can have by by learning from it, by constantly improving. I think that really makes a difference.
And, you know, one of the other points that you brought up, and then I'm going to close out, but one of the other points that you brought up was just if you just do lead nurturing, lead scoring, and I think it was the metrics, and it is amazing how many people will buy a marketing automation system 6 months, 9 months down the road. They still don't have lead scoring up and running. So sometimes, you know, a percent use of the tool equates to, you know, what are the high value pieces, to your point, Mark, that you should absolutely positively get up and running. Okay. So let me close out by asking you a question that people love as part of the radio show, and especially with somebody with your background and your experience. Mark, if you were talking to a marketer who was just beginning this revenue marketing journey, who was just looking at marketing automation, what advice would you give them? What would be the lessons learned that you would want to share with them?
I would say put in your calendar, 15 to 20% of your time, and focus that towards marketing operations and really do the analytic stuff. You're getting caught up so quickly if you're just starting this with all kind of different priorities from different individuals, different stakeholders in the organization. Sales wants more campaigns, product management needs this. So very quickly you're turning towards all kind of different areas. You need to focus and you need to really build time in towards your calendar where you're getting in towards this accountability that we talked about earlier. If you're not allocating time for that, if you're not able to put in either yourself or other resources within your organization who can do that, who can track this, you're not going to win it eventually.
Love that. That is such a great specific piece of advice. Can I have you talk to some people? No, I'm kidding. All right. So that would be number one. What else would you share with them?
I don't know. Obviously, there's many other things. I think
okay.
there's one thing, and you only realize that when you're working longer in marketing. But I think one interesting thing is the pace at which this is changing. If you look towards marketing, where we were 4 or 5 years ago, and if you look where we are now, there's an enormous rapid pace in this industry is changing. So make sure that you keep informed, make sure that you understand what's going on, and with that, apply that towards the industry that you're in.
Okay, completely agree. Well, Mark, your comments have been fabulous. Again, it's always such a special treat when we get someone with your background experience on the radio show with us. I hope all our listeners walked away with at least two or three things that they can actually go back and do better. Certainly, we have lots of ideas and also a lot of tactics, things that you could begin right away. So, Mark, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much for the invitation, Debbie. Enjoyed being here. Thank you.